the Canadian Bitcoiners podcast is just two guys and maybe a guest or two discussing Bitcoin, Bitcoin equities, and the related macroeconomic space. It's not meant to be financial advice, so please, if you're doing any investing after listening to our program, do your own research, do your own due diligence, and understand that any money you invest can be lost. The show is meant for entertainment purposes only, and we hope you enjoy the program. Friends and enemies, welcome back to the Canadian Bitcoiners podcast. This is episode number 151, like the Bacardi. 75 and a half proof. This one is probably, I don't know, it's going to be just as strong this episode, I think, as that Bacardi. My name is Joey. Here is always my co-host, Len. Brother, what is going on over there in your neck of the woods?
Not much to say, man. It's just a family day.
Let's look around there. Just check and make sure everything's in the same place. You left it or what?
Yeah. My wife was in cleaning mode today. So, yeah. Oh. I mean, yeah. So, it's just, I don't know. It's ho-hum day. How about you, Joey?
Oh, man. Things are good. Things are good. Busy day at work. Good lift today. I got a screw-in steak and a lead for my dog going to the backyard. Moose met another dog who's like a kitty corner to our backyard. Basil, super nice dog, heterochromatic dog.
What the heck is now heterochromatic dog?
Two different colored eyes. And so husky? Yeah, it's not. It's like a Aussie Shepherd mix, I think. Great looking dog, very well behaved, well mannered. The funniest thing is that now that he knows that dog is over there like once every week or so, maybe on weekends he sees him more often than not. Every time he goes outside, he hops my little fence and goes over to the neighbor's house and waits to try and go inside. So can't have that. So I got a lead for him until we can get a fence up in the spring. I don't really want to do it right now, but in the spring I'll put something up so I don't have to tie him. But yeah, everything's good, man. It's a good day to be a Bitcoiner as always. And you and me have been busy the last week or so. You're going to be busy this week. I'm going to be busy this week. We got tons going on. Maybe we'll start with the sponsors though, as always. Two great companies. EasyDNS, the best place for you to host your website, the friendly neighborhood registrar, like Mark always says, domain hosting made easy. We got our domain, CanadianBitcoiners.com, which I still haven't renewed, which I have to do.
Didn't do it.
Yeah. Mark, if you hear this, just like put it on my account or whatever, same credit card. So we got that going on. Also at EasyDNS, whatever you need as far as virtual private server needs, they got it. So if you want to run a Nostr relay, Bitcoin node, BTC pay server, know this implementation, all manner of things. Be creative, man. And you know, if, on top of that, if you have like an old website with shitty email service provision and you want to move it over to EasyDNS, Mark will help you with that too. He's got GPG and GPG and PGP privacy options for you. Can't beat it. All there for a reasonable price. And Mark is always in the chat here on Monday nights and sometimes on other nights too. Easy to get a hold of them. They'll help you with whatever you need. They've done a great job with our website now that we're actually using it, posting some stuff, writing some stuff. Len posts the summaries there for the week coming up every Sunday. Go visit it. See if you like it. And if you want to start something like that, or maybe just put up a website where you talk about like your family brownie recipe or something, EasyDNS will help you. So go over, CBP Media is the code. Don't forget to use that and get 50% off your first buy with them. Who's the other sponsor?
No, before I even go there, I just want to say one thing, and I want to give a big thank you to Mark because he did something for our website about how Sabrina set up a gold card, made up page specifically for her.
Yeah, yeah.
And, so I just want to thank, and we didn't ask him to do it. It is on his own volition. So thank you very much. That's the kind of service you get with EasyDNS. But I have to plug the second one because Bull Bitcoin, this is the greatest place in Canada that you could buy Bitcoin. I can't speak of the rest of the world because I haven't traveled the rest of the world and visited and checked the other exchanges out there. But Bull Bitcoin, non-custodial. This is key. And in the chat, people are talking about, look what's going on with Coinbase in terms of potentially being 6102. You're not going to have this problem with Bull Bitcoin. You can buy your Bitcoin. It goes directly to the address you provide. They don't hold it, which is fantastic. But it's not only just on-chain, you could also get on Lightning as well. So if the fees are high, which they are not right now, we're almost back to single-digit sats per V-byte. We're very, very close. But still, you have the option if you want to use on-chain over there. But there's a lot of good things that you could do over there. And again, we'll be talking about this later on, again, a stupid Coinbase story. You could pay with your Bitcoin and pay your bills with that. So, and you could use an unhosted wallet, your own wallet you could use to pay Bitcoin, sorry, to pay your bills with Bitcoin. Can't do this with other shitty exchanges. Think about this. Bull Bitcoin provides you that. You could also buy gift cards and spend this in the real world. So many different options Bull Bitcoin provides you. But the best thing they have, in my opinion, laundry list of great things they have is the KYC free. Go to Canada Post. Unfortunately, it was closed today. At least I think it was closed today. Whatever it was. So. Yeah. So either way, wait till tomorrow. Give them your Canadian dollars. They'll load up your whole Bitcoin account. With that, you could buy KYC free Bitcoin. That is huge, and it's going to be huge moving forward. And we'll talk about why it's huge in today's show.
Yeah, huge. So great companies. Definitely check them both out. Easy to ask and bull. Busy week last week, Glenn. We had three shows, the Monday rip as always, then the always gracious, always well-informed, and steady fan favorite, the CBP Faithful. SB came on, talked about Coin, MSTR, and some of the stuff about the ETF and the effects on Bitcoin equities, miners, and whatnot. That was after Coin reported earnings and blew out expectations. He's been really good to the show over the years, Len, and I'm always impressed with the stuff he brings to the table because he's doing it professionally, don't forget. But him and I, although we do talk every day, I don't give him the questions in advance. And sometimes I don't think about the questions until we're speaking and you come up with some kind of angle or topic you want to discuss, a thread you want to pull on a bit. He's always got information and he's accountable as far as the answers because he looks at the comments and tells me when people get in there. So I think Boomer told him on Twitter that he thought we were bearish. I don't know what we were bearish on. I thought it was all bull content, but all the same.
I thought it was straight talk. I don't think you guys were even bearish or bullish. You guys were just laying out the facts.
No, we got to ask Boomer. But I thought it was good. So big thanks to him. And then Saturday morning, I talked to Chris Irons with a very special guest appearance. I want to say guest appearance, but it really wasn't a cameo. Larry was there for basically the whole show, Larry Lepard. Larry has never been on the show before, but I had his number from the conference last year. I have a bunch of phone numbers of great Bitcoiners, thankfully, because we were kind of setting up some of these panels and talking about some of the ins and outs of the day. And so I thought, while I was walking Moose on Saturday morning, man, you know who I bet is awake and would be great to surprise Chris with would be Larry. And he was very gracious, agreed to do it, did it in his workout clothes, as you may have heard if you listened to the show. And if you haven't seen Chris's reaction on video, you got to see it. He was super pumped, and I was really happy about that episode. I think it was really good.
Was he doing it from his bedroom, in his bed? Because the angle of that camera.
He was like lying. If you look at the way he's drinking his coffee, I think the bed was like maybe angled up, and he's like leaning against.
That's it great. Looks like that's great. The camera. You know what I mean? He's lying down in bed and just looking up. That's the way it looked like to me.
He told me it was his laptop. So I think he was probably sitting like I am now, except maybe with his feet out in front of him, right?
It was a very interesting setup that he had over there.
So a lot of good content that episode. We talked about his old, his sort of old way of thinking, his new way of thinking, the Bitcoin leap, a little bit about Schiff and, where Bitcoin sits as far as its relationship to gold. I thought it was really good. I hope you guys enjoy it. And again, like big thanks to Chris and Larry. I'm a morning guy and I don't mind doing that on a weekend if it makes it easy for the guests. And it was a little bit of sprinkled in content and that chat was packed. There was like 50 people there, 60 people there for a couple of minutes, a couple different times. So I was really happy to see that. I'm glad you guys are morning people too. Now, Muslim Bitcoiners in the chat telling me to give my thoughts on the two gold bugs I had on. Those guys are not gold bugs. They are gold investors, I think. You can't really call them gold bugs anymore. Chris is very chill, QTR. And I think he thinks about things a lot of the same ways that we do, right? He's a skeptic, self-described. And I think we are too. A lot of stuff we talk about on the show is just us being skeptical or looking through a skeptical lens at some monetary policies and political policies and things like that. I think that's a fair position to have. And if that makes him a boomer, then I'm a boomer too. We're all boomers in here together. So I'm glad you guys enjoyed it. I love the questions and comments that were coming in during the chat. I want to apologize to the chat because it was busy in the live chat and I was kind of juggling two guests. So it was a little harder for me to get to the chat during the show, but I really enjoyed that. And then, Len, this week, you have Gabe from Bitcoin Advisors on Wednesday, right? Which is going to be really good. Gabe is a younger guy. I think he's still in his 20s, if I remember correctly. I met him at Innocente with you in September. He's doing a lot of good stuff. He's got like some Twitter videos up now. He's got a little bit of a following there. I'm looking forward to seeing what he gets up to. I think he's going to be a quality Bitcoiner and a quality episode. And then I don't want to spoil it, but I believe that same day,
it's a doubleheader. I'm doing the Your Life, Your Terms. I don't know if it's going to be with Tom and or Nick. Love to have them both, but I don't know. It's not my call. But yeah, I'll be talking to them or one of them. about whatever deck they want to talk about, most likely Bitcoin. And shortly after that, we wrap things up. We'll be playing some NHL 94.
Yeah.
And I'm going to enjoy that. So it's going to be
stream
a triple header.
Stream it. Just set your phone up in the corner. Just stream it.
So we might have a 2v2 over there. Who knows? Because they have the boardroom where they could just hook the computer.
I love
up.
It. Yeah, get Nigel to play. Get him in there too. Whoever wants that fourth controller. And then Thursday night, by the way, I'm going on a friend of our show, Hrvoje Morić's program, TNT, Today's News Talk. I think it's at 7:20. There's a phone number for that show. So if you guys are interested and are, you know, looking to bust my balls in a public forum live on air, you can do it. You can call in. So I'm exposing myself a little bit there.
The day we get
a live call-in number will be the day that you start doing the show on your own. Okay.
So could you imagine taking random calls from folks out there?
People do it all day long. What do you mean? First time, long time.
That'd be amazing.
Jets should be looking to trade Aaron Rodgers.
But the problem is we have to have somebody working a switchboard, right? So then it'd be a 3-person operation. So if anybody
Sabrina can do a cold card. She can do the board. No?
No, she's got her own thing. So if anybody has intentions of doing it, we don't pay very well. I think we don't pay anything. Send us your applications and let us know if you want to partake and be our switchboard operator. You'll get a lot of credit from us. That's basically it.
Boomer in the chat. Maybe Rush can call in from Waterloo.
I think he wouldn't troll us to the same degree he does somebody else. So at the very least, we'll be... Too bad Rush is not around in that forum because he left, right? And he voluntarily left, too. And
he's cleansing. He's cleansing.
This is very cryptic for people out there. We'll just leave it at that. We're getting kind of deep into this. I just want to be very quick with the boost and be quick because we only got one boost, which is very odd. It's from Teets, 500 sats. Love, Larry. Now, I just want to say, number one, thank you to Teets for providing the 500 sats. I took a look at the sats we get on a weekly basis. It's been roughly on par to other weeks. It's actually slightly more we got last week. People are listening and streaming per minute, but not sending us any boosts. I suggest turn the streams off, send us a boost.
You get whatever you want read on the air.
Yeah, it's the same thing. And then you get something that we can read here. So that's what I suggest. Turn the stream off for us. Don't send us a sats or even just send us, and even like 100 sats boost. You don't have to send, you can send
literally it, read anything. A
shittier boost than you would give us in streaming a sats. And then you'll come out ahead. It will come out ahead, I think, too. But that's just my 2 cents. But thank you to everybody that's streaming us.
You guys are the best, man. I had the warm and fuzzies after the Saturday show because I just couldn't believe such so many people there to watch that interview. And yeah, the sport's been amazing. Anyway, let's fucking get into it. Where do you want to start today? We got lots to talk about in the Bitcoin world, don't we?
Yeah, well, there's another country that just threw their hat into the Bitcoin mining game. And this time, it's Ethiopia. And Ethiopia, they have an abundant amount of hydroelectric energy that they generate. And in fact, 90% of the energy they generate is from hydroelectric. It's very similar to BC. And they're actually in the same situation as BC, is they're in fact the net importer of energy right now. Soon they'll be a net exporter once their project that is the Grand Ethiopian Resistance Dam. This is a mega project that is going to generate about 5 gigawatts worth of electricity. It's quite a bit of electricity here. It's going to be the most electricity actually that's going to be for the continent of Africa. Anyways, this Ethiopia, they entered into a partnership with a subsidiary of West Data Group. And with this partnership, they're going to be mining Bitcoin on behalf of the Ethiopian government. And what is funny of all through all this thing is because if you look at this report and the news when it came out, the report came out initially saying that the Ethiopian Investment Holdings, EIH, this is the strategic investment arm of the Ethiopian government. That's the one that reported it. But shortly afterwards, the announcement, they erased in their announcement who was their partner, the West Data Group, and also the number that was being thrown around, $250 million related to this partnership. For some reason, they decided to scrub this information out, but too late, it was already out in the wild. This is, in fact, the second mining project related to this new dam. We talked about a story not too long ago, I think about roughly a month ago on this show, about a company from Russia named Bitcluster, and they were assisting with setting up a 120 megawatt Bitcoin mining operation in Ethiopia with respect to this dam. I'm not sure if this partnership that with the West Data Group is in conjunction with BitCluster or has any connection with it, I do not know. I tried looking to see anything. I could not find anything, but still you have at least these two somewhat related stories. I don't know if it's one story or two, but either way, you have yet another sovereign nation out there that is finding a way to generate wealth. And they're using this excess electricity once they set up this dam. And it's something, this wealth that they're generating is not tied to the US dollar. It's de-dollarization that is happening within Ethiopia. And, you know, I like this story, but the best thing I like about the story, I think, Joey, the national currency of Ethiopia is the birr. It's like, this was meant to be. This is a fucking meme that has come to life. I love it. But you know what? The hash rate goes up. And we've been talking about this for a long time. Who the fuck's been plugging it in? Well, we have some. I'm talking about the ASICs. We have now confirmation, at least Ethiopia is one that is going to be doing this moving forward. I love it.
Is it more likely, in your view, that a lot of these countries, you know, not to speak ill of Ethiopia, but, you know, we may as well call a spade here. The countries that are on the gold machine gun index, are they the most likely to be mining Bitcoin behind the scenes, you think?
I guess the regulations that are prevalent within those jurisdictions are easily to get around and skirt those systems. So yes. So I would say absolutely. You could do whatever you want. Palms could be greased and things could move ahead regardless of what laws, regulations, policies are in place. Absolutely.
I think so too. And I can't imagine that too many of these countries with currencies that, like, no one uses unless they're local economies, right? Like, everyone over there probably isn't, it's probably a dollar economy, right? It, you know, if, when people want it to be. So my guess is that you're going to see more and more of this from those countries. I actually like the idea of the gold machine gun index countries doing this because they have the most to gain from getting off the US dollar. And man, what a story it would be if these countries who are on the, you know, Wikipedia list of highest corruption by capita or per capita or whatever, highest level of corruption, any government, if they were to get off the IMF teat and central banks, you know, international central banks teat and onto Bitcoin and start to see reduction in corruption, what a story that would be. You know, like, that's really where you have successes. Someone in the chat, I think it was Muslim Bitcoiner as well, saying Honduras about a couple of hours ago, I just looked, banned all crypto transactions. You're going to see more countries go that direction too. I know, it is news, right? And so the funny thing, I think, is you're going to be able to draw a pretty clear line between countries who went one way and countries who went the other. And how long is the time horizon, right? If you asked me 3 years ago how long it would take to see a difference, I would have said 10 or 15 years. But in El Salvador, mind you, there are some other factors. I admit that. You know, I'll submit to you that there's other things going on there, not just the Bitcoin adoption. It only took about 2 years, 3 years, right, for their economy to start showing signs of growth and for, I think, their credit rating to increase or improve, whatever the terminology is, and things like this. So I look forward to seeing the clear delineation between countries who saw the light and countries who maybe didn't. And now we know where Ethiopia sits. So let's, I don't know, wait and see. What else can you say about that?
You were saying that you were thinking Ethiopia probably uses the US dollar as the currency of choice within the country. Come on. There's no fucking way they're not using the birr en masse. If I had a choice between US dollars, Benjamin Franklin's, and whatever's on the fucking birr, probably that meme of Jerome Powell. Fucking...
Who is it on the birr? Let's see. Ethiopian birr.
If it's not birr, if it's not Powell.
You know how much one Ethiopian birr is in Canadian dollars?
I have no clue. It's, if I had to guess, I'm going to guess maybe $150 to $1.
It's one Ethiopian birr to 2 Canadian cents.
So it's 50 to 1, right?
Yeah.
So I was a third off. Now, you were talking about the breaking news of Honduras banning Bitcoin within, I guess they call it crypto, within their borders. I just took
Shout
a look.
Shout out to Muslim Bitcoiner for that. I didn't know that.
I just took a look right now. I went on Yahoo Finance to look at this, and very preliminary information here. They're stating that it's with the banking institutions. So they're prohibiting institutions under supervision with dealing with digital assets. So In terms of their banks, they don't want them to deal with it whatsoever. They say that there's a crypto-friendly initiative within this article that's called Bitcoin Valley. I've never heard of it, but I get that neck of the woods in Central America, there seems to be lots of activity with that.
Why don't we send Julian there to make a documentary?
Why not? Joey,
Julian, get over there, buddy.
What are you thinking about
a documentary you make we have to be made here, buddy.
I was thinking about you hopping in a war wagon and going south. And yeah, sure. From what I understand, the border is like when you get to the US-Mexican border, it's going to be easy to cross. You just keep going south and away you go.
Especially if you're in a caravan. Hey, so look, check out this this thing, the Ethiopian burr. My only question is, why do they have a picture of Niagara Falls on there?
Is that something like Victoria Falls or something?
I don't know. That's the Ethiopian burr. Interesting. A case study.
I have to get it. I mean, I have to get people.
What are you going
to
do? Go to TD and grab one? I don't think they keep them in the back. No,
you go on everywhere else. Like, people were purchasing Zimbabwe dollars online. I'm sure you could pick up one of these burrs somewhere out there. In fact, we should start selling them on our website.
I think you can
make a killing. Anyways,
yeah.
Let's move on because the Financial Crimes Enforcement Network, these DCELs, they issued a report.
FinCEN.
it's about highlighting that there's an increased usage of Bitcoin and shitcoins for human trafficking and sexual exploitation. Keep in mind, this report came out this week. This report is based off data between January 2020 and December 2021. Now, put yourself in what happened between January 20 and December 2021. They're cherry picking data here because if you look at the price of Bitcoin during this time, what took place with the economy, mainly, you know, there's closures and just about everywhere. A lot more people were looking up Bitcoin and understanding that it could be used as a medium of exchange. So I'm not trying to defend the usage of it in this particular sense, but the usage increased everywhere with respect to Bitcoin for buying goods, for buying shit, for purchasing even this, unfortunately, just because the adoption of Bitcoin went up. Because you remember the time frame, put into context, January 2020 to December 2021, a lot happened. So I'd love to see the same type of report outline how many people bought cold cards with Bitcoin during the same period of time. And I'd love to see the overlay and if there's an exact trend between the two. You know, think about that. I would imagine there's so much FUD around this and it's uneducated opinion. And I'm thinking you might as well get Danielle DiMartino Booth come on and give out her thoughts about Bitcoin as well, because this is all fucking bullshit, if you ask me.
That's funny. What can you say? Turns out like human traffickers don't want to make an appointment to go talk to somebody at the bank with a mask on either, right? So that's all the story. If you start talking about like, not to make light of this, okay, but this is obviously terrible. I will say though that, you know, Elizabeth Warren and others like her, not to bring her into the story here, but there's been an attempt obviously to paint Bitcoin as this illicit currency, right? Everyone uses this for illicit activity. It's the main use. It's the key use. It's the thing that keeps it afloat. We know this isn't true. We've seen this over the years that the data is cherry picked, as you said, but I think the more important thing is that you're starting to see certain publications. I think it was the Wall Street Journal and the Treasury Department basically rebuke Warren in this case. You know, with her comments about BTC being used for money laundering and stuff like that, I wouldn't be surprised to start seeing other people take shots at this. Now, the problem with debunking every single stupid article is Brandolini's law, right? You got to spend 10 times as much time, you know, covering all the bullshit stories and telling people why they're wrong than you do actually making up the bullshit story and getting it to publishers. So I don't expect that we're going to take care of all these things all at once and spend time on this stuff. But Len, I think that more and more, the same machine that sort of churns and helps Wall Street look good for a lot of people is going to start helping Bitcoin look good now that we're part of this sort of ETF in group. And I would expect most of these stories to fade away. The thing I think is going to come hard and fast though, and we're probably going to talk about this, and I think it's on the list actually, it's not going to be the illicit use. Although it may be a wedge into the broader thing and the easier target, it's going to be the industrial mining setups in the US and European Union countries and maybe Canada as well. I don't know if we even have any up here anymore. Hut 8 might still operate up here, but not many other places or not many other miners do. So I think that overall, you know, what can you say about this story besides everyone kind of knows, right? There's a book, I think, called Lying with Data, if I remember correctly. That I think everyone should at least browse or see if your library's got it or get it on Kindle or something. It's kind of a fun read. There's some other ones too. I have one out in the other room there. Maybe I'll bring it in next week if I remember. But you'd be surprised how many people don't have the literacy to pin down these lies. right? They don't have the financial literacy or like the numeracy, I guess would be the word. Speaking of literacy, numeracy would be the word to really look at data and say, yeah, there's actually other factors at play here. It's not just that human trafficking, you know, kingpins and dons suddenly all wanted to sweep their ledgers and start using their money to buy people from abroad. It's just not how it works. And I'm glad you pointed that out. I hope other people realize that too.
I think that it's because people are very busy with their lives between work, family, play. How much time can they put into debunking and figuring out the data that's being presented to them? It's very difficult to do so. And if you're just basically skimming through an article quickly, you're not going through the nitty gritty. You're basically taking it and it could go in one ear and out the other, or some of it may stick, but you're not analyzing that information. And this is the reality. And the way the system, the fiat system is set up, it's so complex. It's impossible to grasp everything. And I know this isn't truly a fiat story, but there's still a connection to it. Does anybody really understand fiat, like the whole system?
No.
I certainly don't. And I'm sure a lot of people don't. And even the people that are the people pulling the triggers, they might have a good grasp of it, but still they don't have a total grasp. I'm going to argue that they don't have a total grasp of it. And I'm going to use the interest rates as an example of it. The fact that they were so late to raising them, given the fact all the data presented that everything, the inflation was going to go up and they reacted late, goes to show me that they don't know everything with this. So if those people don't know everything, it's hard to, I'm not saying you're finding fault, but it's hard to say that other people should have the ability to read between the lines and figure out that a lot of this is bullshit. This is too bad, especially when it comes from, go ahead.
No, go ahead. Finish.
I was going to say, especially when it comes from reputable sources, but.
Yeah. The problem I have too, as far as like reading stuff, and actually Narwhal's mentioning in the chat, that's what reminded me. We don't just do this, and people don't just do this in fiat land. Bitcoiners do this too. Like someone tweeted out a Fidelity thing about proof of work today, sometime this morning. And I was like, I'm sure that I've seen this before, but everyone's tweeting out like, oh, new money is entering the arena. These guys are all going to figure this out, blah, blah, blah. Like Fidelity printed that article like 5 months ago. It's not new. And Bitcoiners just grab it, latch on. Like you didn't even bother to open the fucking link, dude. Just don't take shots at, I'm not saying we do this, although I'm sure we do without even knowing it, but don't take shots at, people for not reading stuff. And then yourself like get on this like viral, please like my tweet train at 8:30 AM because Fidelity put out something 5 months ago that you didn't read then and didn't read now either. Like you're just giving yourself up. We got to do better than that because the crosshairs are on us, man, in a major way, which, we'll find out in a few of the other stories we're covering tonight.
Coinbase Commerce.
Yeah.
This Coinbase Commerce, to be perfectly honest, I never heard of it until this past week.
We have talked about it on the show before.
We have, but you know what?
Way back, when we were in our infancy, I think.
Wow, this thing never stuck with me. Yeah. But anyways, my fault.
We used to talk about a lot more stuff that was on the fringes of like shit that people cared about. And then we just stuck to stuff that we really liked and then we think people should know. And this one is like, this one is popping up now under that second category, unfortunately.
Well, the reality is there's two ways you could go. Now I'm going to go into the weeds. To present a product like we do, you could either try to present something which appeals to a lot of people, or you could do something that appeals to you. I'm talking about the person, people producing it, like Joey and myself. I think we're doing the latter.
Yeah.
So, and for better or for worse, people like it or not, it appeases us, at least for now. Coinbase Commerce, it's from their website, is the most seamless way to start accepting crypto payments. This is straight from them. And they say it's an easy way to accept payments from around the world. Instant settlements, low fees, and broad asset supports. And they say it's all built on their on-chain payment protocol. And this is an interesting development. And because coming from them, they have announced that they are no longer going to be accepting payments from self-custody wallets or third-party exchanges. Mm-hmm. So if you have a cold card, for instance, unfortunately, out of luck, you can't use your Sparrow or Electrum to broadcast it because that's a self-custody wallet. So if one wants to make a purchase, you got to use one of the something that's been assigned to you, KYC, something like that, I guess, or something that is affiliated with Coinbase, at least Coinbase Commerce. But nonetheless, it's funny they're doing this because, they've even Lightning, this is something that you can't use. they should be able to use this. This is a quick way to do anything with commerce, especially with Bitcoin, but they choose not to use it. But anyways, Coinbase CEO Brian Armstrong was saying that this is the fastest checkout today in commerce. And he says that he wants to use ERC-20 on layer 2, Base, Polygon, and shit like that. He says that this includes Ethereum, USDC, wrapped Bitcoin, and thousands of ERC-20 tokens. This is straight from him from a tweet this week. Mm-hmm. So as you can see, these are the type of tokens, digital assets, shitcoins, that he wants to push to use on this platform. And a lot of this, I guess, would be KYC'd. So I guess the question I have is, number one, who the fuck pays for anything with shitcoins compared to Bitcoin? I guess if you're going to compare, very few people use Bitcoin comparatively than, say, the US dollar for paying for shit. And I would say for the whole swat of shitcoins, they probably far less for spending on it to buy shit than Bitcoin. So why the fuck are they pandering to this? Number one. Number two, why are they doing this? It seems like they want to capture so much more information and restrict the ability to transact with your own self-hosted wallet. So KYC for Bitcoin is shut out. So seeing this, it's another nail in the coffin for these guys. And so much is wrong with them. I don't know. I can't see anything that's good about this. And we'll be talking about Zapright in a little bit. That's a competitor with news that came up from them this week. It goes to show you that that is a Bitcoin-related company that is for Bitcoiners, and Coinbase and Coinbase Commerce is just a fiat company. They're there just to get as much information as possible and regulatory captured, all that bullshit. All this stuff I fucking hate. And on top of that, Coinbase is used as a custodian by some of these ETFs. It's an enormous amount of Bitcoin that is being captured in by Coinbase. Do you like this? I certainly don't, but that's just my opinion.
You're just absolutely nuking my Coinbase bags. So
I hope it goes to the roof for you. Like, I hope it
couple,
goes. But in reality, fuck Coinbase.
Couple things of note here. Do you know why they're apparently doing this? I mean, this is the reason they're giving. I'll tell you the reason they're giving, and then I'll tell you the reason I think they're actually doing it.
I guess it's to appease regulators. There must be some sort of overarching, somebody pulling the string
worse.
Saying you
got it's to, worse.
Go
it's
ahead.
Worse.
I'm curious.
They're having trouble with an EVM stack related to payments, Ethereum virtual machine stack related to Bitcoin payments.
But how does an EVM?
We have your Bitcoin guess yet. Is as good as mine. I just had to double check it because I could have swore I saw it earlier, and that is exactly what they're saying. And I even did my usual AI checkup here, and it's saying the same thing. So whatever that means, I have no fucking idea. I don't know what an Ethereum virtual machine has to do with Bitcoin payments. It sounds like there's just a smart contract and some other stuff that's involved in getting this to work. I don't know exactly how it goes, but that's fine. Now, I think the real reason, Len, honestly, is because they want to trap people in that ecosystem. Mm-hmm. And I mean, David Bailey, who's a good friend of yours, I think he was at your Thanksgiving dinner earlier this year or last year. He put out a tweet the other day that was actually yesterday or Saturday, I forgot, about the government 6102ing Bitcoin. And he does make the case that, you know, at some point it'll be in their best interest to grab this stuff and give it back to you for some pegged value or something like that. Same way they did with gold, right? This makes it a lot easier if the stuff that's bought on Coinbase is the only stuff that you can use on Coinbase Commerce and Coinbase Commerce proliferates, then that gets to be a much simpler exercise than if you had to, you know, get if you had to do it some other way, right? If you had to use chilling effects or something like that. Like they want clearly to have everything in a tied up ecosystem. And as you mentioned, the ETFs, I don't know the exact number now. I think it's 8 or 9 of the ETFs are custodied by Coinbase Custody. And also MicroStrategy is using Coinbase Custody too.
A portion of their stack.
That's still not good. Not good. And I got a real beef with this. This is why I said to SB last week that I think this MicroStrategy pivot to a Bitcoin development company, it's bullshit. It's bullshit.
Wasn't he trolling? I think that was a troll, to be honest.
Explain to me how a guy like Saylor, who talks about Lightning proliferating, who talks about payments, talks about store value, talks about decentralization, censorship resistance, open source money, uses Coinbase to custody his coins. Does he not get it, or is he lying? Which one do you think is true? because one of them is. So if you know, this kind of stuff altogether doesn't make a lot of sense to me. But if I think about it through the lens that Bailey put out there yesterday, even though I think he's wrong about some of the stuff he wrote, and I tweeted that to him, I just think that I'm looking at this and saying, like, you know, sure does look like this is going to be an easy capture at some point if the government really wants to do it. ETFs, all the Coinbase coins, all going to be in the same place. Let's grab this. It's a national security issue. It's an inflation issue. It's a whatever issue. And thanks for playing. Your Bitcoin's not yours anymore. Good luck.
It never was.
Yeah.
It was just an IOU, and they're not going to honor
yeah,
it.
Yeah, and boomers in the chat saying don't give Bailey that much credit. I know people have been saying that for years, but that, I thought Bailey's case was pretty convincing, save for some of the market cap numbers. And I ran it by, obviously, SB, and he had some disagreement as well with some of the, you know, trillions here, trillions there. Like, pretty soon you're talking about real money when you're throwing trillions around like that. And I think Bailey's wrong about a couple of those numbers. But overall, it's an interesting picture, a spicy take, which is all people want to do for engagement these days. And I engaged with it, so it worked for me. But yeah, I think, you know, there's been a lot of people calling for this being a danger. And it certainly is a danger. How could it not be a danger? People who say, like, and I think Larry said this either on Saturday or on another show I heard him on, I forget now. Like, you may not think they're going to take gold or Bitcoin. You may not think they're going to seize equities. You may not think there's going to be a bail-in. You may not think there's going to be, you know, capital controls, outflow controls, or that your real estate will be used to, you know, house newcomers or whatever edge case, right? You may not think it's going to happen, but you cannot say that it is a 0% chance, you know, a 0% likelihood. There's just no way you can say that. No sane person would say that these days. Why take a chance with custody, man? Like, that's why one of the reasons we endorse Bull and we partnered with them for the show is because it's fucking, you know, not custodial. There's no chance that you're going to get rugged by the Bull Bitcoin team, right? It's just not going to happen. And it's important. Like, self-custody is important. There's going to come a time when you will be villainized, right? A lot of people in my mentions saying that, you know, get ready to be blamed for inflation. I could picture that coming. Couldn't you?
Anything is possible, as you mentioned.
Anything is possible.
There is a non-zero chance for everything you mentioned.
Yeah. So why risk it? You know, I can't imagine why you would risk it.
I 100% agree with you. And we've been talking about this for quite some time. And the ability to store your Bitcoin and self-host it is one of the fundamentals that make Bitcoin so great.
Yeah.
And the fact that they could rug this from you or from people that are investing in this, it's done in the past. Gold at one time, they used to have a piece of paper where it was convertible. You got to go to the bank and convert that piece of paper to.
It was on the currency for a time, was it not?
Up until the 30s, I believe right. It was.
Okay.
And not just the United States. Also in England, the same thing happened until World War I took place. So the ability to do that was there. And then after that, then countries could do it for next 40 years or so until they decided to fuck that as well. And then it's just... So yeah, this shit has happened, right?
If they could do this... That's the best part. Like, people are like, it'll never... Like, the equities guys, okay... To quote our buddy Ragnar, the macro normies who are like, no, your equities are safe. Like Fred Krueger, who will say your equities are safe with a straight face. I want to have him on the show. I might reach out to him and say, like, you got to help me understand this. Like, you're saying that there's basically a 0% chance that any of this stuff happens when all of it has already happened. It's already happened. The U.S. seized foreign reserves. You don't think they'll take your fucking Bitcoin account? You don't think they'll take your fucking ETF coin? You don't think they'll seize your fucking equities? Of course they'll fucking seize them. Of course they will.
Yeah.
If something gets out of hand, right? Like, it's not that hard to imagine this. These guys went to war over less, okay? Like, they will take your equities, no problem. They won't even blink. They won't even blink. It won't even be on the news, okay?
It is 100% possible that this could happen. But it's not to say it's 100% it will happen.
Yeah.
So that's what I just want to stress. I don't want people to go, you know, think that, oh, this is imminent danger. No, it is a danger. It can happen if or when it's anybody's guess. But mm-hmm. by playing these games, you got to understand there is an inherent risk by doing so.
There's a risk. And also, like, I think the Bitcoiners, and again, like, not to single out Krueger, but he talks a lot about how Bitcoin's going to 100,000, 500,000, a million, blah, blah, blah. You can't, in my opinion, okay,
you can't make that case that Bitcoin's going to a million and ignore the Armageddon in the traditional system, the Armageddon for governments, the Armageddon for debt spending, the Armageddon for treasury reserves and bonds and retirements and entitled. Like, you can't say that it's going to a million, ignore the Armageddon all the way to a million, and then also say, well, but they'll never seize it. It's, there's rule of law. No, man. No. If it goes to a million, you're going to see a lot of things change in what you can and can't do, what becomes acceptable. The Overton window for like peering into your finances and nudging you certain ways, I would guess nudging will become at some point too friendly a term, honestly, if we see $1 million Bitcoin. It's going to blow your mind because there's just not a world where Bitcoin gets to a million and there's not chaos. And to control chaos, you have to use, you know, the stick. The carrot doesn't work anymore at $1 million Bitcoin. The stick is what you need, and the stick is what you're going to get. So I really do caution people about this. You want to hold your own coins. You do not want to leave your Bitcoin on exchanges, in shitty wallets, in, you know, multi-signature services, whatever. Like,
no, multi-sig is okay services, if it's done
services,
right.
Services. Yeah. Like, don't go to these places who are like, we'll hold one, we'll give another one to a third party and you can hold one. Like, no, no, find a better way. And this is what you're going to start seeing, man. I think it's coming over and over and over again. Yeah. P-Man Van, ask Trump about rule of law. I don't know the ins and outs of that Trump case, but man, does that sound fishy. And I think like more and more, you're going to start seeing this kind of this like disintegration of a once stalwart set of institutions in the United States. Here, you could argue it's already started. I don't know. It depends on how you really feel about some of these things. But, you know, we talked on Access of Easy, for example, about the digital IDs, a story that crept up again today.
Oh, I'm not going to touch that with.
Yeah. And so like that's tough, right? And so I think that you have to be careful with your assets. And Bitcoin is one of the assets that allows you to really be careful and really be secure in your holdings. So why not take advantage of it? That's part of the equation, right? So definitely should be doing that.
You mentioned something, and I want you to extrapolate a little bit more on it. You were talking about MSTR holding a portion, a great deal of their Bitcoin reserves with Coinbase.
Yeah.
Explain what's the issue with that. And I think...
Well, Coinbase puts out... Coinbase promotes and supports and encourages people to buy some of the least reliable, most fiat, most... corporate bullshit tokens on the planet. They've done it over and over and over again.
And I would securities guess, too.
Yeah,
the stuff that were deemed to be secure. Or sorry,
I would guess 80% of those tokens have gone down 80% or more, whatever that number is. I don't know, but I bet you it's around there.
Maybe, and I didn't frame it right. What should MicroStrategy do? Like, what should be the alternative?
They should come up with their own custody. That's what they should do.
He's so a the Bitcoin.
Yeah, go ahead.
The problem with that is because they are a publicly traded company. And because of that, they, to provide some assurance to their shareholders, at least the appearance that they're not holding it within house, somebody could then steal that and run away if they just get access to the keys.
Yeah.
I'm not sure exactly how they have it set up, three or five or whatever
find
in terms
way.
Of multi-sig.
Find a way. Find a way. Use another company that's not Coinbase then. Use Unchained. Use whoever. Okay.
But like, so it's not the fact that they're using an external service.
It's Coinbase specifically. The external service is whatever, you know, it's somewhere down the list of things that I don't like, but I agree with you. I'm on a board myself. I know that there's a lot of rules and regs and you have to contend with problems, both perceived and real when it comes to publicly traded companies, if you're on a board of one. So I get that. But the problem is that this guy is now claiming to be running a Bitcoin development company while giving business to maybe the least beneficial in the current sort of modern age Bitcoin company in the world. We didn't even talk about this last week or this week, but I'll try and find the video of the Coinbase, one of the guys from their stablecoin team, basically begging Congress to pull up the ladder and not let anyone else do stables or release IPOs or whatever, like trade any of this stuff. They are executing the strategy they should have executed 5 years ago and didn't for whatever reason. And they're trying to do it now. And Saylor, for all the things he's done well, if you're running a Bitcoin development company, then show me that you care about Bitcoin development and get away from the company that refuses to implement Lightning, refuses to implement other layer twos, refuses to, like, their CEO refuses to fucking say Bitcoin in his tweets, man, most of the time.
Didn't he have a dot ETH in his name? Am I wrong?
Probably.
Some other people.
Paul Graywall does. Their lead attorney does.
My bad. I
wouldn't be surprised if Armstrong did too at one point. The fact of the matter is, like, if you want to say that you're, and it's funny, QTR said this on the weekend. It's Saylor is the head of state for Bitcoin, not Max Keiser, like he said. Thank God, Saylor is the head of state for the Bitcoin nation right at the moment. So. If he wants to be this quality showing leadership type, you have to get away from Coinbase. You have to. And I, to be honest with you, it tells me something, Len, that we didn't know where the coins were custodied until someone pinned down the MicroStrategy wallets, because he probably realizes too that it looks bad on him and on his company to be using Coinbase when they're clearly not operating in the best interest of Bitcoin as much as they should be. Especially because even the most ardent shitcoiner will tell you that if Bitcoin fails, whatever other garbage they're trading, NFT they have, it's all going to zero if Bitcoin fails. You need Bitcoin to succeed. Put your chips in that basket first. And then if you want to dabble in bullshit once Bitcoin has reached exit velocity, go ahead, do whatever you want. But for now, clearly, there's a misalignment between MSTR's new mission and Coinbase's mission. And I expect to hear him say something about this. We shouldn't let him skate. Slay your heroes.
He's
Someone
not
should be taking him to task.
They're not a Bitcoin development
this.
Company.
They are. MSTR is.
I don't care what they say. They're not.
That's what I'm saying. So why? Okay. So why is he saying that? Is he lying does he not understand? That was the original question, right?
I honestly think that was a fucking troll.
I don't fucking think that. That was an earnings call. You can't troll on an earnings call. It's probably fucking illegal.
I have no clue where the rules and regulations surrounding that. But come on. Like, nobody in their right mind is going to say that MicroStrategy.
TGM in the chat, friend of the show, TGM. MSTR has the money. I'll put this up for people on YouTube so you don't have to scroll back. MSTR is the money and lawyers. They should be spearheading, figuring out how a public company can do self-custody in a safe and auditable way. They're taking the easy way out in this bullshit. Fucking right it is, man. Of course it is. Lead the way. It's not like you didn't lead the way on the fucking strategy in the first place. You can't lead the way on this too?
There's one commonality with everything here. It's we are dealing with fiat rules. That's what it is. If it was outside being publicly traded, they could do whatever the fuck they want because they don't have to deal with
it's a treasury asset. Like, if it's a treasury asset, do they have multiple custodians for the rest of their treasury?
I have no fucking clue.
Probably fucking not. Honestly,
I wouldn't know.
We have to get away from this.
What do they do with if they have a whole abundance of gold in their
pocket? I don't know.
I don't have a fucking clue.
No gold treasury strategy. to look at.
But to go back, because they're publicly traded and we're dealing with these fiat games.
Yeah.
This is the unfortunate reality. If it didn't have to deal with the SEC and you're playing within the walled gardens of the publicly traded forums that they offer, they can do whatever the fuck they want. If they want to keep it on a single signature without a passphrase on fucking Ledger, they could do that. Nobody could say anything. And leave it on a hot wallet. Sucks to do that, but it's their prerogative. They could do that. But once we're dealing with these fiat fucking rules, that's the reality. And it's too bad that they have to deal with it. And then it indirectly impacts us too, because what happens with MicroStrategy? 190,000 Bitcoin. It's a fucking lot.
1%. Right? 1%.
If they get rugged somehow, that's going to definitely impact the price of Bitcoin moving forward. A lot of trust will be lost and the price will plummet as a result. And so it's too bad that it's gotten to this point. But you know what? The reality is anybody could buy it. Anybody could buy it. Anybody could do whatever the fuck they want to do with it.
We'll know if Saylor shows up in the CoinKite support chat and D is like helping him out. It's Psych Mailer or something like that. And we'll know right away that it's Mike. Looking for some support.
If you want to get the best support, there's a video from Sabrina showing you on how to set up a cold card. She's 10 years old. She's not an engineer like you are. You should be able to do it. If she can do it, you could be able to do this after getting a bad night's sleep. It shouldn't be a problem for you.
Oh man.
I think we exhausted this topic.
I can't believe I took a break from playing Diablo 2 Resurrected to get mad about Mike Saylor's Bitcoin.
Diablo 2?
Resurrected, yeah.
It came. What? Wait.
I love Diablo 2.
I'm shocked. Was this a re-release?
Yeah, they re-released it a couple of years ago, and I was gonna play. I was playing something on Saturday morning before the show, and they had like a Valentine's Day sale, I guess, till the 16th or 17th. And Diablo 2 Resurrected was on sale for $15. So I messaged my brother. I'm like, you have this, right? How is it? He's like, it's great. Sign me up. I'm in. Got it. I love anyway. It. It's a great loot system. We'll talk about it later.
So we have some good news from Square that just came out this past week. And more specifically, it's tied to a company called ZapRite. And ZapRite and Square, well, they have formed a new partnership here. Because ZapRite, for people who are unaware what they are, and in fact, I was unaware who they were before all this, they have an integrated, they have an ability to sell stuff to merchants by using their platforms, kind of like the Coinbase Commerce. It's kind of the same thing, but they're more friendly to Bitcoin. So they have integrated Square into their platform. And this is going to give them the ability, Square customers, for instance, use Lightning and on-chain for payments moving forward, which I think it's opening up a whole new swath of people that could use Square products to buy stuff. And you could potentially now use Bitcoin on-chain and Lightning to facilitate the payments. And they say through this integration, Square merchants can receive payment in Bitcoin along with fiat. And this is going to also have integration into Apple Pay and Google Pay ecosystem. Although I don't know how, but they say there's going to be integration with each of those. At the moment, ZapRite is only available to U.S. customers. I'm not sure if they're going to be expanding outside of U.S., but if you are in Canada, U.K., wherever, and want to take advantage of this, unfortunately, they might have ZapRite local to you, but it's not going to be that's in conjunction with Square. So this is after talking about Coinbase Commerce, this is a breath of fresh air. So it's good to talk about this. I have nothing else to say except good on Square. I think we had some really bad news from a whole bunch of other companies like Block and shit like that in the last few weeks. So it's good to have some good news coming from Bitcoin-related company, at least one that's tangentially related to Bitcoin.
Why don't we just wait and see on this and see what kind of like adoption, implementation, stuff like that. It feels like we've talked about similar stories, right?
Strike?
Maybe. Couple others, I'm sure, over the years. And nothing's really come of any of these things. You know, they've been these sort of false gods that never actually materialize or gain adoption or gain traction. Maybe I'm just missing on the timeline. I'm being too impatient, but the announcements are big. They're hyped up. That, you know, a lot of Bitcoiners talking about it on Twitter, but then there's not much after that. Why don't you talk to me when it's like, you know, significant adoption or significant, you know, growth or proliferation of these kinds of things and people are using the service in a way that makes sense. And but for now, like, you know, telling me you can do it isn't the same as telling me that it's being used, I think. And I think we've become bad for that in Bitcoin. What do you think?
I can't speak on that. Ultimately, I just want to see the ability, the option available to people.
Yeah.
If they're using it, it's their choice, but at least the option is available, and if they choose to use it, all the more power to them. But not having that option obviously closed doors. So in this case, at least those doors remain open. How often they're going to be used remains to be seen.
Yeah, people don't want to spend Bitcoin either, right? Like that's another big
And it's a twofold problem, because in a quote-unquote bull market, which, you know, it's one can make a very strong argument we're in right now, who the heck wants to spend?
Mm-hmm.
But then when the price kind of goes down, who the heck wants to spend then too? Because you're thinking, I could have spent it when it was X price and it's now Y price, which is much less than X. So spending it now doesn't make sense. So yeah, there's always the threat that, no, not the threat. The idea is like, I'm not going to spend it just because of these reasons. But also to consider, at least in Canada, I don't know about other jurisdictions, spending in Canada is a taxable event.
Yeah.
So that's another thing that might be preventing people from spending their Bitcoin. And I can understand that, at least in Canada. Off the top of your head, do you know if United States they have this type of setup?
I think somebody, I want to say maybe it was Dennis Porter or someone else. They were talking about a de minimis rule, right? So if you spend under $50, something like that, there would be no tax on it for capital gains. I think the number may have actually been higher than that. Maybe it's like 500 or something of that nature. But it never
$100 number, but I could be.
Is that what it was? That was Nancy Pelosi wanting to see everything that you were sending on Venmo, $600.
Yeah, I think you're right.
But they came up with like a de minimis tax law, but never actually pushed it or passed it. Who knows where it is now? I mean, I think a lot of these things could change, but again, you're really asking for trouble if you start letting people spend this stuff, because as a government, you're really taking away one of the last hurdles to adoption and know-how. And even if people start using Bitcoin just a little bit, the problem isn't necessarily the Bitcoin usage or adoption. It's like the ethos, right? You really can't have that ethos spreading that inflation is theft, stuff like that, right? You can't have people tweeting out who will build the roads every time something goes wrong in like a municipality. So I think that's the more dangerous thing. And I don't expect that they're going to make it easy for people to get into Bitcoin, again, both on the spending side and on the ideas side. I think both are bad for status quo at the moment.
The UK seems to be making it more difficult for people to onboard or on-ramp into Bitcoin. And I'll explain why. Because over there, we've talked about banks that are preventing customers from sending their money to an exchange to buy Bitcoin. We also talked about Bitcoin ATMs being outlawed. Fuck, we even talked about Bitcoin ads being banned. This was several years ago. We talked about this. So somebody reported on Twitter, it was a Kraken user from the UK. And he posted an email that he received from Kraken saying that the exchange needs to up-to-date information regarding the self-custody wallets. So he's sending the Bitcoin to a self-custody wallet, and so Kraken is asking for some up-to-date information. It's pretty interesting. So they're confirming that the person that is receiving the Bitcoin manages the wallet. And if not, then details need to be provided to who controls that Bitcoin address and provide their residential address. So not only are they getting KYC'd Bitcoin from the get-go, they also want to confirm the address it's being sent to belongs to the person that they're sending it to. So if you look at this, the UK has been pretty tough with respect to Bitcoiners. And even the EU in general, things are going in the wrong direction, but we'll talk about that later. If I were a customer in the UK, I would strongly suggest
leaving the country, sailing away.
Well, maybe you have friends or family and jobs you can't leave. But if you're there, I would strongly suggest looking into decentralized exchanges or peer-to-peer services as long as the laws allow it. I don't know what the UK laws are. Maybe it is against the law and this is bad advice. But if they do allow it, certainly look into something like BISC, HODL, Robosats, shit like that. Because you don't want to give up this information if you don't have to. And you might have to pay a premium to buy from those services I mentioned. But in doing so, you are ensuring privacy moving forward. Remember, Bitcoin is a open and transparent ledger. Would you want anybody to know where and when you are spending your fiat dollars? Like if you go to the grocery store, they can look at the ledger and say, oh, fuck, he spent X amount at this grocery store. You wouldn't want that. Why would you want the same with Bitcoin? It's not for hiding for taxation purposes or whatever. It's remaining anonymous when spending it. Mm-hmm. That's my opinion. So that's what I would suggest for people in the UK. Definitely look at these decentralized exchanges or other peer-to-peer services. Find a way to use it as long as it's legal. Again, I don't know if it is legal in the UK. Do your own research, but that's all I got to say about this.
How high would an ATM fee have to be before you don't consider it just part of the cost of doing business when laws like this start to show up? We're lucky here that we have Bull Bitcoin where you can buy KYC free with basically zero additional fee. But, you know, other friend of the show, Adam O'Brien, CEO of Bitcoin Well, who was a sponsor of the show for a hot minute. That's how much we like Bitcoin Well. We like Adam. We thought at the time before Bull came out with their service that the ATM fee, even if it's 20%, 15%, like it's still better than having a KYC stack.
So I just want to don't interrupt. Yeah. It was usually between 10 and 15% for
10 and 15. Okay. Okay.
Between Bitcoin Well. Sorry. Wanted to clarify.
No, that's true. That's true. And I mean, do you still feel that way? If you were living over there, you'd still pay the so like maybe the answer isn't necessarily BISC or HODL. Those are good, but present different risks. Maybe the answer is the ATM. You know, if there's Bitcoin ATMs,
I think
are they really? You think are they outlawed over there? Come on,
I believe so.
Wow,
some very preliminary research. They used to have that, but I think that they're no longer allowed. They might find some rogue ones around, but. Correct me if I'm wrong. Obviously, I don't live there, and this is all just from what I quickly gathered. But yeah, so if that's the case, you're stuck using those services I mentioned. BISC, I think there comes with some sort of protection. There's like a pool of funds in case there is a complaint.
Yeah, that's true. But at the end of the day, like I mean, I haven't signed on to BISC in a while. I used to have it on this machine when I was just fucking around with it, but I think you have to still either meet with somebody or send cash from a bank account. And
it depends what they're accepting. It could be e-transfer. It could be a number of different things.
But
it's really what the recipient receives.
It's still tied to you somehow, right? Like the bank can still say, like, you sent this person money. What did you send them the money for?
So here's one. RoboSats, you could send gift cards. You could send an Amazon gift card. And by that would clearly break the trend. You could go to Shoppers Drug Mart or Walmart or whatever, buy it and cash.
That's a great obfuscation measure. Yeah.
So there are options available. Just again, I don't know if it's legal there.
I don't know.
Decentralized.
Yeah.
So, and to your saying, you were asking what percentage. I don't know what the percentage is in terms of like for me to pay extra for a KYC free and Bull Bitcoin. I hope you don't implement this. I was doing 10 to 15% before Bull Bitcoin allowed the Canada Post thing.
Yep.
And I was doing with the knowledge that moving forward, the price of Bitcoin would be much higher than 10 to 15% that I'm buying that day. I'm happy I did it.
Yeah, I think everyone's gonna be happy. We both know a guy who I won't dox, who's only ever bought Bitcoin dating back like 5 or 6 years at ATMs and spreads the buys around to different ATMs all over the place so as not to be like easily traceable. Cool.
Wow.
That was a good idea.
I have to give that
he's ahead of his time.
He is definitely ahead of his time.
Yeah.
Especially if he's a large stack. Because, you know, then you're going to have to use a mixing service or something, you know, to break the trail. And then you don't know what's going to come with the legalities, all that moving forward. I mean, you expect that you wouldn't get rugged, but you know what I mean? There's always that, at least for me, that hint of doubt in my mind. When I know when I buy KYC free, fuck, I'm happy with that.
I got to go tomorrow now. This always happens to me when I do the show. I'm always like, God, I got to go buy another fucking chunk. Doesn't Bull mix before they send too? They do. I'll be honest with you, Len. I still use both. So,
I'll say it here. 100%. I haven't bought KYC Bitcoin in close to a year. It's been KYC free since like almost a year, and I'm very happy I've been on this path. And I have no other way I'm gonna buy it. Fuck that. I'm not gonna give it up, that information.
Strong.
And yeah.
Should we move to other notable stories?
We shall.
Okay. Thanks for tuning in, everyone, on the audio side. If you're on video, just do nothing. Get another fizzy water or whatever and come on back. Join us here in the basement for other notable stories. Things have become very notable this week. There's a lot of notability in these stories, so you're really going to like it. Until then, take care of yourself.
Yeah, take care. Don't be a macaque.
Are you a fan of the old school NHL 94 game? On the Genesis or SNES? Why not check out my show, the NHL 94 Podcast, from tournaments and tactics to the people who make up this community. Check it out wherever you listen to podcasts or find it on YouTube.